Hey, thanks for joining us on the No Limits Church podcast. This is a place to get equipped to make a difference for the kingdom of God. So get ready to be empowered by this message.
So let me tell you the story of Jesus. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? You know, he's been with God since the beginning, all the way back when God created the heavens and the earth. And then the final thing God created was us, his prized possession. Go ahead and look at somebody next to you and say, you're God's prized possession. And you know, we're so special to God that he gave us the entire earth. He didn't dump us in a wasteland. He created a beautiful, abundant, life-filled earth, and then he gave it to us. Isn't that amazing? We didn't do so well with the gift, though. I mean, God told the first man and woman they could enjoy everything except one tree, and you all know what happened. They ate of the one tree. They disobeyed. And this is when we stepped out of God's plan and into our own. And spoiler alert, man's plan always ends in destruction. Have you all noticed that? Have you ever tried it your own way and it just doesn't work out? So God had to watch as his prized possession wallowed around in sin. They were created to be like God, but they were living sick, destructive lives. And our Heavenly Father, he just couldn't leave us that way. He's like, God, do something about that. And first, he made a way to cover our sins through the sacrifice of animals, the blood sacrifice of animals. But this was only temporary. It had no lasting impact. We needed a more powerful blood sacrifice. In order for us to be made right with God, a miracle had to happen. A seed from God had to collide with a woman's egg to produce a man who was fully God and fully human at the same time. Is that not a miracle? That is amazing. But God couldn't do this without the consent of a woman. Did you know that when God gave us dominion, he meant it? He doesn't force us to do anything. He doesn't force anything on us. We must willingly receive from him. So an angel was sent to a woman named Mary. The angel prophesied what would happen through her, that she would give birth to the Son of God. And you may have never noticed this about this story, but she had to accept what the angel had said for it to come to pass. Did y'all know that? She had to accept the prophecy. Let me show it to you. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. So what we see in this verse has always been true. For God to accomplish things on the earth, a willing human has to rise to the occasion and by submitting to what God wants. Are you hearing me? People love to blame God for the things that happen on the earth. Have you ever heard, why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow abortion to continue? Why did he not heal my loved one? Why God? We're blaming him on everything. And I can tell you this, God would love to intervene, but he cannot do anything until we do what Mary did. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come to pass. God will do nothing on the earth on his own. He can't. Why? Because he's bound by his word. He gave us dominion over the earth, and he will not take it back. That'll cause a shift in your whole theology, won't it? You're like, whoa. If you want to see God's goodness in your life, look in the mirror. If we want to see his goodness in our city, the church must rise to the occasion, submit to God, and allow his power to flow through us. It's not up to God. It's up to the church. And that's what Mary did, and our Savior was born, Jesus Christ, fully human and fully God at the same time. The seed came from God, and the egg came from woman. Absolutely amazing. You know, the same is true for you. When you were born again, that seed came from God. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus lived life as a human, just like we do. He was tempted with the same things that we face, but he never sinned. And that sure is a good thing, because a sinless sacrifice was required for the redemption of mankind. And at age 30, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and power. He went around healing all who were oppressed by the devil, whatever the sickness or disease, no matter the cause, even if they were demon-possessed. What did Jesus do? He healed them all. There was not one time that Jesus refused to heal. Healing was a free gift for all who would receive. Amen. Some people wonder if it's God's will to heal everyone every time. Well, here's what we know about Jesus. He only did what the Father wanted. He only did what the Father wanted. He was in perfect alignment with the will of God. Jesus was. Some things about God are a mystery. Would you agree? Some things about God are a mystery, right? You're like, I don't understand that. But healing is not one of them. Jesus revealed the will of God when he went around performing an endless supply of healing miracles. And you could probably come up with numerous reasons why God wouldn't heal you. I mean, we could come up with a lot of reasons for that, right? But all of them are lies. Every reason you can come up with that God would not heal is a lie. Are you hearing me? Because Jesus made the will of God clear. It is always God's will to heal. If you wash away the doubt by believing the simplicity of what I'm telling you today, that's when you're healed. You got to get the doubt out of the way. And then you'll take that healing power and you're going to give it to others. Amen. You know, sickness is never a good thing. I hope you're hearing me. You'll have an opportunity to receive your healing miracle here in a bit. But I need you to cooperate with me by disciplining your mind. How many of y'all are good at disciplining your thought life? Working on it? We're like, yeah, working on it. Don't allow thoughts of doubt to continue. Just trust what Jesus reveals to us. It's always God's will to heal. That is my answer to every doubt that comes to my mind regarding healing. Well, I'll tell you what, it's always God's will to heal. Answer it with the word of God, right? Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus performed miracle after miracle after miracle for 3 years. And the miracles were so numerous that if we tried to document them in all the books of the world, we couldn't even contain them. That's a lot of miracles. And all we have is this very small fragment of what Jesus did written in our Bibles. There's so much more that Jesus did than what's written to us in our Bibles. But think about this. The time came. A blood sacrifice was required for the redemption of mankind. And even though this was the plan all along, Jesus still had to submit to God. Think about that. He still had to submit to God. Even after the miraculous birth of Jesus and after all the miracles that the power of God worked through Jesus, Jesus still could have used his own will to stop the sacrifice. Take a look at what I mean. This is Jesus fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Think about it. Jesus lived a sinless life. He lived in perfect harmony with God, and now the entire combined sin of the world was going to be put on him. Who would want that? Anybody in here? Anybody in here want the weight of somebody else's sin? He had the choice not to do it. He had free will, just like we do. God was not making him do anything, yet Jesus chose to submit to God. Aren't you thankful? Are you seeing a theme here? Many people believe that God superimposes his will on the earth. And that's not true. God can only work through those who submit to his will. Thankfully, Jesus submitted. And shortly after this prayer, he was arrested. And then he was beaten beyond belief. And then he was hung on a cross, not for his sins, but for yours and mine, for the sins of the world. All of our sins and all of the penalties of our sin and all of our sickness was put on Jesus. And then he died in our place. We should have been on the cross, not him, but he did it for us. And when Jesus died, here's the good news, our sin died with him. It lost its power over us. When Jesus died, our sickness died with him. It lost its power over us. How about our shame and our guilt and our regret? It all died with Jesus. And then on the third day, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. He walked out of that grave with all authority in heaven and on earth. He was holding the keys of hell and death. He conquered them both. And just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we have also been given new life with Christ. Our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power over us. We are no longer slaves to sin. We have been set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we also live with him. We have been made right with God, and we have been guaranteed the gift of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans chapter 9, anybody? That's what that was, by the way. If you want to get revved up, go read Romans chapter 9. Ah! If you're unsure of your salvation, let's take care of that right now. If you don't have to get everything together first. You don't have to clean up your life first. Because salvation cannot be earned. Even if you went on this journey of, I'm going to get it all together first, and then I'll come back to church and I'll receive salvation, it wouldn't do you any good. It wouldn't do you any good. Salvation only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You must believe what I've told you about Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins. He rose again, and you rose with him. So if you're unsure of your salvation and you want to solidify it today, just stand to your feet. We had three people do this in first service, and it was absolutely beautiful. Amen. But anybody in here, you're just sitting there thinking, I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved, and I just want to take care of that right now because I don't want to doubt another day in my life. If that's you, stand up. We'll take care of it right now. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to do this for people that may be watching online. When you stand up or just when you make that decision, you're declaring that you believe in Jesus Christ. There's only one more thing you have to do. You seal the deal by speaking what you believe. So how about everybody in here just repeat this after me. Jesus Christ, I believe you're the Son of God. When you died on the cross, I died with you. I am now free from sin. When you rose from the dead, I rose with you. I have new life. You have made me clean. You have made me pure. Aren't you thankful? Yeah, thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Hallelujah. So now, on this Easter Sunday, Jesus wants nothing more than for you to access all of the benefits of your salvation. You know, I asked the Lord this whenever I was preparing this message. I was like, well, Lord, what do you want me to preach on today? He's like, I want you to go and show them and reveal to them all the benefits and make sure they're accessing all of them. He wants you to access all the benefits of your salvation, every single one of them. So you may have been saved for 100 years. You may have been going to church your whole life, but there may be something you're leaving on the table. And today you're going to partake of it because Jesus wants you to have it. And there's four things. There's four main benefits to your salvation. Jesus wants you to receive all of them today. Don't leave anything on the table. Number one, freedom from sin. Salvation is more than just forgiveness of sin. It is freedom from sin. You know what that means? You don't have to sin anymore. That's wonderful, isn't it? You will still be tempted to sin. But he's given you power to overcome every temptation. For every temptation, what does he do? He provides a way out. Jesus faced all the same temptations we do. There's not one temptation that you'll face that Jesus didn't already face. The difference is Jesus never sinned. He was tempted, but he never gave in. And you know, people who don't struggle with the same temptations that you do tend to hold it over your head. They say things like this, I just don't understand why you struggle with fill in the blank, whatever that is, right? Have you ever heard that before? Somebody, I don't understand why you struggle with that. Well, Jesus never says that. His response is always, yep, I know about that one. And I also know the way out. Come here, let me help you. You hear me? Can we do that for each other too? Amen. If we've been freed from sin, why do Christians still sin? That's a great question and an easy one to answer. Because you still have free will. God doesn't make us do anything. We could still choose to sin. And many Christians still do. Most Christians, though, who continue to struggle with sin, they do so because they've yet to align themselves with the truth. The church has lied to them and told them that they will always sin. You're just going to sin for the rest of your life. And so that's what they latch onto. And that's a lie. But if you align yourself with the truth, things change. Because here's what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 6. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Do not let sin control the way you live. Oh, you mean we can let it? Give it permission? Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. He didn't put this in here to show you that you'd never be able to do this. He's shown you what's possible. All you have to do is consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin. And once you align yourself with this truth, guess what happens? You live free from sin. Can you believe that? But if you align yourself with that lie that you're always going to sin, guess what's going to happen? You're always going to struggle with sin. How about you align yourself with the word? I've been free from sin. I don't have to sin anymore. So when you face temptation, you need to hear this. When you face temptation, you have not sinned. You have only been tempted to sin. I want to distinguish this for you because a lot of people struggle with this. You have not sinned until you give in to the temptation. So what do we do when we're tempted? Run away from God and go hide, right? No. Run to God with great boldness and ask him, God, I need your help. You said you know the way out of this. Show me the way. And when you're tempted, you reckon yourself to the truth. I am dead to sin. I have no obligation to give in to this temptation. God has already shown me the way out. So listen to me, you don't have to sin anymore. Isn't that wonderful news? I don't know why some people think that's not wonderful news. That is great news to me. You don't have to sin anymore. Sin is no longer your master. You have been completely freed from the power of sin. So don't give in to temptation again. God's already given you the power you need to overcome. Just tap into that power and be free. And he's always there to help you when you need it. You know, one of my greatest testimonies is that Jesus freed me from homosexuality more than 18 years ago. And that's awesome. And since then, you know what people ask me? I get this question a lot. Are you ever tempted to go back? Are you ever tempted? What does that matter? Does temptation mean, when temptation comes, does that mean that we weren't set free? When we ask people a question like this, are you ever tempted to go back, regardless of what they came out of, we're actually speaking for the enemy, because the enemy wants you to believe that facing temptation means that you are not free. Are you hearing me? That's a lie from the pit of hell, and I just break it off you right now. You will face temptation in this life. You will be tempted to sin, even as a saved person, but for every temptation, God provides the way out. Even Jesus was tempted. Quit feeling bad for being tempted. That's bondage from the end. I'm serious. Quit it. Just overcome the temptation and move on. Don't give in to that. Don't give up when you're tempted. Face the temptation with great boldness and say out loud, I'm completely free from the power of sin. That's how you respond to temptation. And I'm not saying that you got to live perfectly to earn God's approval. So if that's what you're hearing right now, you're not hearing me. You're hearing a lie. I'm simply telling you that you can live a sinless life by the power of God. It is a possibility. It is something that you can do through the power of God. But you know this? His forgiveness is readily available when you do sin. His forgiveness is always available. But isn't it better just to not sin in the first place? Wouldn't we all agree on that? That's just the better path. So all I'm encouraging you to do is let's take the better path. And let's accept and let's receive this benefit of our salvation. I've received freedom from sin. And here's the next one. Consequences are fulfilled. You've done some things wrong. And some of you have done a lot of things wrong. And for all of it, there's a consequence. There's a curse that belongs to you because of the things that you've done wrong. And there's actually curses that belong to you because of what your father did wrong. And your grandfather and your great-grandfather. The wages of sin is death. Sin has a miserable consequence that ends in death. And you fully deserve every consequence for your sin. I know I don't have to work to get you hard to understand this. Like we all probably get this. Most of us already know we deserve what we deserve for what we've done wrong. What many people fail to realize is that Jesus already fulfilled the consequence. Hey! Not only did Jesus set you free from the power of sin, but he set you free from the consequences of sin. Hallelujah! This is one of the benefits of your salvation. Everything you've done wrong, the consequences have already been fulfilled. The curse has already been eliminated. If you abused your body with drugs or sex or bad eating habits and are suffering the consequences of your sin, I have good news for you today. Jesus fulfilled the consequence. You can be completely healed. You don't have to live sick. Hallelujah. Y'all get me excited. If you suffer under demonic oppression because you got into witchcraft or sorcery or some other kind of demonic nonsense, I have good news for you today. Jesus fulfilled the consequence. You can be completely free. If you've ruined every relationship because of your bad choices, I have good news for you today. Jesus fulfilled the consequence. The relationships can be restored. The blood of Jesus paid for forgiveness of sin. And it went beyond that, and it set you free from sin. And it went beyond that, and it fulfilled the consequence of your sin. Come on, somebody got to preach the whole truth. People need to know this. Shout it from the rooftops. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in regret. You don't have to live sick. You don't have to live lonely. You don't have to pay for your sin. You don't have to live out the consequences of your sin. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13, because Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. We could say it this way, the consequence for our wrongdoing. He took it upon himself, for it is written, curse is everyone who is hung on a tree. Woo! Jesus rescued you from the curse that you deserve. This includes generational curses. Woo! Hear me. Generational curses have been broken through the blood of Christ. He fulfilled it all. Every curse was broken off of your life when Jesus hung on that cross 2,000 years ago. The only curse that is able to remain active in your life is the one that you allow. Are you hearing me? It has to have your permission. Remember, God has given you dominion. If you welcome a curse that doesn't belong to you, you can have it. Are you hearing me? If you welcome a curse that doesn't belong to you, you can have it. You will have it. God can't take away what you choose to allow. So how about we honor Jesus today and what he did by kicking out every curse? If you've been living in bondage because you thought you had to, if you've been living in shame because you thought you had to, if you've been living sick because you thought you had to, and you're ready to be free today, stand up if that's you. I'm going to do this again then for everybody who's watching online. Repeat this after me. Y'all can join me because this is still true for you. Say, Jesus Christ has rescued me from every curse. He fulfilled every consequence of my sin. So with the authority of Christ, I destroy every curse and every consequence. I will no longer allow any curse to operate in my life. Amen. Glory to God. Be free. So this Easter, we're receiving all the benefits of our salvation. We've received freedom from sin, haven't we? We've received freedom from curses and consequences. And here's the next one. You've received peace with God.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen. It is the best one. Through our disobedience and our sin, we were all enemies of God. We rebelled against him by living our own way, doing our own thing, just like that song we sang earlier. Sin separated us from God. The breach was far too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, God was looking at us. He had us in his sight. So he made a way across the great divide. He left behind heaven's throne. He built it here inside. And there at the cross, Jesus paid the debt I owed. He broke my chains. He freed my soul and gave me hope. Hallelujah. You are no longer an enemy of God. You are now his prized possession. In his eyes, you are completely holy and without fault. When he looks at you, he sees the perfection of Jesus. Jesus provided the perfect performance, and then he attributed the applause to you. We don't have to wonder how God feels about us. If he's upset with us, if he's frowning at us, we don't have to wonder how he feels about us because we already know how he feels about us. Just like he said to Jesus, he says this to you. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. We have peace with God, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. And that's great news because it means you can't mess it up. So why don't you go ahead and look at your neighbor and tell him, you can't mess this up. You can't mess it up. Because it was Jesus. God is always smiling at you because when he sees you, he sees Jesus. Come on. So let today be the day that you take hold of all of these benefits of salvation. Freedom from sin, freedom from curses and consequences, peace with God, and here's the fourth one, physical healing. Some people think that God uses sickness to make you more like Jesus. They say he allows it in your life to help you develop character and patience and to give you compassion for others who are sick. And I'm not sure why we buy into this. I mean, how can sickness make you more like Jesus when Jesus was never sick? Can you help me with that? Sounds all good and religious, though. I guess that's why we receive it to begin with. If God uses sickness as a tool of development, why don't we have a record of Jesus saying, oh, well, I'm sorry, you can't be healed quite yet because God's still working some character in you. You don't find that in the Bible. Oh, but what about Paul's thorn in the flesh? Well, that's not even a mystery. You know why? Because it defines the thorn in the same sentence that it mentions the thorn. It calls it a messenger of Satan. In other words, Paul's thorn was people who delivered a message from Satan that came in to undo the message that he was preaching about Christ. You can even get more thorough if you want to. You're like, well, okay, the messenger could have been sickness. Well, let's get more thorough. You could read the whole chapter where the thorn is mentioned. You could go back a whole chapter, read two chapters where Paul lists all of the challenges that he went through. And you know what you're going to find? Not once did he mention sickness. He listed a lot of things that he suffered. Persecution and shipwreck and all these things, but sickness was never one of them. It was not one of them. Go ahead, go do your own research if you're struggling with that one. But I can promise you, I'm 100% certain on this, that Paul's thorn in the flesh was not sickness. Oh, but didn't he have some kind of eye disease? Well, I can prove to you that Paul did not have an eye disease. Are you ready? I can prove it to you. Here's how we know for sure. Timothy let Paul circumcise him. Yeah. I mean, that's proof enough for me and all the guys in the room, right? But if you need more proof, you just study the scriptures. You're going to realize how much speculation is required to support the theory that Paul had some type of eye disease. It takes a lot of speculation. What about Job? What about old Job? Yeah, we know that Satan made him sick, but you know how it ended? In complete restoration, in complete healing. It was restored back to him double, wasn't it? Multiplied. So if you want to be like Job, go ahead and be like Job and be healed. All right, come on. But what about all the people who wanted to be healed and died? Well, it would be quite foolish of us to determine God's will based on someone else's circumstances. We tend to look at notable people who did notable things, even while they were sick or blind or deaf, and we determine, you know, God must have used their sickness to make them great. Really? I mean, is that really what happened? Because I know many more people who lived pitiful lives because they were sick. So I am happy to report today that this theory that sickness somehow makes you great has no leg to stand on. I've done the research and I found out it didn't pan out. So you don't even have to believe that one. Well, what about the healing evangelists who died from sickness? What about them? I don't know what happened with them. But I am sure not going, I'm sure not going to use their circumstance to define the will of God. No one has revealed the will of God except for Jesus. Nobody. Nobody else but Jesus. He is the only one that we should be looking to understand the Father. And when it comes to physical healing, the will of God is no mystery because Jesus made it plain and simple. You know, Jesus is really simple. We're the ones who make things complicated. It takes a good theologian to make it complicated, right? Jesus made it simple for us. Matthew 4:24, whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. How many is all? All right. I want you to notice that the type of sickness or disease didn't matter either. Whatever their sickness or disease, meaning nothing left out. And also the cause, whatever the cause of the sickness, or it didn't matter. He just went ahead and he healed how many of them? All of them. So maybe you caused the sickness that you're dealing with. Jesus wants to heal you today. Maybe you were born with sickness. Jesus wants to heal you today. Maybe you have a terminal disease. Jesus wants to heal you today. Maybe you've been trying to get healed for years. Jesus wants to heal you today. Maybe you've been healed before and it came back. Jesus wants to heal you again today. Physical healing is one of the benefits of your salvation. It is always God's will to heal. His answer to healing is always yes. Always. His answer is always yes. As a church, we must get into a flow of continual healing. Did you know there's one thing that we're still waiting on? Our glorified bodies. And while we're waiting on that, these bodies of ours are going to try to break down. They're going to try to age. They're going to try to get old. They're going to try to get sick. And that's why you don't just get healed once. You get into a flow of healing. You get into a flow of healing. We should never criticize each other because once we were healed and then we're struggling with some other kind of sickness. Stop that. Just get into a flow of healing and let's help each other stay healed and live healed. Because it's one of the benefits of our salvation. And if we live sick, we're leaving one of the benefits of our salvation on the table. You don't have to wait till eternity to live well. You can live well right now if you'll just overcome the doubts and overcome those things that are getting in the way of faith. So the date for your healing miracle is today. And to God, it is always today. He always wants it today. You don't have to wait. Healing is readily available to you in Christ. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring you a continual flow of healing. The only condition for your miracle is faith. It's the only one. You must truly believe that He wants you to have it. Like I said, you may have caused the sickness. Maybe you have diabetes because of your diet. You may have caused that sickness, but guess what? Jesus wants to heal you. The condition is not cleaning up your diet. The condition is faith. Are you hearing me? You don't even have to live a righteous life. The only condition is faith. You think that everybody Jesus healed was living perfectly before they got healed? No. There's no condition other than faith. Could it be that simple? It is. So at this very moment and every moment in your life, God is holding out his healing power. He's holding it out. It's yours for the taking. It's yours for the taking. So if you want to receive healing in your body right now, go ahead and stand up and receive it. Receive it. Reach out and receive it. There's nothing withholding. There's nothing that's getting in the way. No more. We've already eliminated the doubts. We've moved the doubt out of the way so that we can receive. So just by faith, simply reach out and receive the benefit of your salvation. Lord, you purchased healing for me, so I receive it. And I receive it, and I receive it. And I'm going to give it, and I'm going to give it. Lord, thank you for healing my body 2,000 years ago. Thank you that by the stripes on your back, my healing was purchased. Even if the sickness that I've been suffering with is a consequence of some kind of sin, you're going to heal that too. There is nothing, the only condition is faith. You just want us to reach out. It's by our faith that we are healed. Lord, if there's any kind of doubt lingering in this room right now, remove it, reveal it in Jesus' name so that we can get rid of it. We don't want to leave the benefits of our salvation on the table because of some lie that we're believing. Expose the lies and replace them with truth in Jesus' name. Lord, we receive our healing. We receive our healing. Your faith has made you well. Amen. Aren't you all thankful? Say this with me. Say, my faith has made me well. Yep. And I want you to remember that. You stepped into the flow of healing today. And if you need to receive it again tomorrow, just go ahead and receive it again tomorrow. Because it's an endless supply. There's no shortage of miracles in the kingdom of God. He'll do it over and over again. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. And we seal it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, that was good, wasn't it? Help us get God's word out to everyone who needs it by partnering with us financially. Your generous giving is what enables us to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Visit nolimits.fyi to give securely online. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a message. And thanks again for listening. Now let's go make a difference.